whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I'm here to listen to any argument that gets the Texans into the Super Bowl. You know, if I see a headline of an article and it says why each team will make the Super Bowl,
yeah,
and why they won't.
Why they'll lose or not make the Super Bowl. Yeah, why, not lose the Super Bowl.
Why each AFC playoff team will win the Super Bowl and why they won't. And this is The Athletic and this is Austin Mock.
Yeah.
So I was very intrigued by the why the Texans will, for sure.
Yeah, the will. I was a little let down by the will because I looked through the article and he had this for several other teams. Felt like this part of it was phoning it in a little bit. His key is that CJ Stroud gets hot. All right, thanks.
You're telling me the league is about quarterback?
Yeah, play? Yeah, because you know what his key for the Chargers was? Justin Herbert gets hot.
Okay. See, I didn't read all the other teams because I don't care about
I looked
them.
At the Chargers and then I'm like, all right. And then there was one other one in there. Like, all right, I get it. So then I went to the, like, why the Texans will lose. And it's hard for me to get mad at Austin Mock about this because it makes sense. It matches the eyeball test. He's got the stats that back it up. When looking at blown blocks in the running game and pressures allowed in the passing game, no offensive line has blown a block as often as the Texans at 28.5% of plays.
Oh, wow.
The next worst team is the Patriots at 26%. So the Texans are, they're 2 percentage points worse than the Patriots at blown
really
blocks.
And that's a bad line in New England.
Yeah.
That's a bad line.
Yeah. So that matches the eyeball test. Like, sometimes I get skeptical of stuff when they talk about guys blowing blocks because you don't always know for sure who, when it's a mental error, you don't know, you don't 100% know, even if you think it looks like you should know, you don't know exactly what the responsibilities were. But yeah, there have been enough completely free runners. There have been enough guys who have definitely just gotten beaten one-on-one very, very quickly. That is a death blow when you're going up against good team after good team after good team in the playoffs.
This would be my, maybe not a counterpoint, but if Austin Mock were sitting here,
yeah,
this would be my follow-up question to him because he probably has a subscription to FTN data where he found that number, 28.5%. That's a year-long stat, right? It's for the whole season.
Yes.
I would say, tell me what it's been since Tytus Howard moved to left guard.
That's where I think the... It's not like
four games.
And it's not like the offensive line has all of a sudden been marauders or anything. But the really infuriating miscommunications and missed assignments, those have gotten better as the season's gone along. So yeah, I'd like to see weighted, like how it looks now versus before. And but the sum total of it is the offense as a whole for the second half of the season was one of the worst offenses in the league. And a lot of it is just due to inadequate offensive line play. I think that the reason for hope, hopefully, is that, yeah, they have cleaned up a lot of, like, the glaringly bad stuff. But then also, I do think in looking back over the last 4 weeks in which Tytus Howard has been playing guard, there have been some good moments where Tytus is doing some really good things. Tytus working with Laremy on one side or with Jarrett Patterson on the other side. They look like they have a better awareness of the scheme and what their responsibilities are. When, you remember early in the year at various times, they would just leave defensive tackles completely alone. While both guys worked up to a linebacker.
I do.
We've seen a lot less of that. Yeah. We've seen some good plays where, hey, Tytus is going to take the defensive tackle. Laremy moves up to the linebacker. Damian Pierce goes 92 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
We've just seen a lot better evidence of clean football. So that's the, if I had to counter argue, like, I think he makes the right point for why the Texans won't win the Super Bowl. The antidote would be hopefully that this lineup of offensive linemen is something that the Texans finally stumbled into as, like, the correct lineup.
Be average.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just asking you to be average.
Right. Don't have negative plays.
Yeah.
Because the other big glaring stat is that the Texans, Joe Mixon's been hit in the backfield more than any other players that have had a certain number of carries.
Yeah.
Like, there's just too many times where they're extreme negative plays. Just get 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm over the moon with 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'll put you up there with the Earl Campbell days.
I mean, it pains me a little bit to say that because this is a show that is striving to be the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our advice to somebody, millionaires, is to say, be average. Just be average.
Well, no. Because you're not telling the team to be average. You're telling one aspect of the team. Any Super Bowl winning team has various position groups that are just average.
I know, it still
There's
hurts
nobody
me.
Out there that has all pros at all 22 starting positions.
I know, it just hurts. That's all.
No, it doesn't hurt. No, you're looking at what's the recipe.
Yeah.
You know, like what is the thing that makes that thing go?
Okay.
You can only be really good at so many things, but you hope that the rest of the guys are average at least.
And by possibly being average, then the whole totality can be the best in the world. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
I don't feel like it's a complicated, theory.
It's just as somebody who strives to be the best in the world ourselves since January 1st, just to give advice to be average.
Right,
pains
but okay,
me a
in
bit.
Any given profession, if you try to be the best at every single part of that profession, you're not going to be the best in the profession.
Yeah.
There's going to be some parts that you do average, but the things that you do astoundingly well. So you just need to be good enough at the stuff that you're average at.
Okay.
The stuff that you do astoundingly well has a chance to shine.
Fair. I'll workshop it and see how I feel.
Okay.
Okay, so let me put you on the spot a little bit then. Because I'm with you. The citing of better quarterback play is a lazy reason to say why they could win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if you had to write this article that Austin Mock just wrote, why all these teams will win the Super Bowl and why they won't. But it's got the caveat of you can't mention the quarterback in the why you will.
Okay.
What would the Texans' reason be that they will win the Super Bowl?
Defensive turnovers. Just taking the ball away at a lunatic fringe rate. Just absolute maniacal banshees out there that are taking the ball away. And there's
and we've seen that.
For that. Right, yeah, we've seen that.
They're
still in the top. They're at least in the top five. I don't know where they are in takeaways.
We've
on the year,
seen
but.
Way more of that than we've seen CJ play at the level that Austin Mock is talking
right,
about.
Yeah, right yeah. Now. Again, like I don't think that's rocket science either. I think 90% of Texans fans feel like, if they're gonna make a playoff run, it's gonna have to involve a bunch of takeaways. Now, so this Texans defense is much improved, and they're very good in a lot of ways. They're not an elite defense, though. Just like the simple scoring defense, they're not an elite defense. So if they make a Super Bowl run based on their defense, it's not going to be like it was with Tampa or the first time the Ravens won the Super Bowl necessarily. They're not that caliber of defense. But there have been Super Bowl runs like Lovie Smith's Bears where they made it to a Super Bowl mostly. I mean, Rex Grossman was their quarterback, and they were a very, very good defense, but mostly because they took the ball away so much.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were not like that Ravens defense or the Bears defense back in the day. But they were really good at taking
their
ball away.
Their defense won games.
Yeah,
I was living in Chicago for that team. I watched them every weekend. There were games where there were way more games where Rex Grossman was abjectly awful. Like made this year's version of CJ Stroud look like an MVP. And they still won, I think, 11 or 12 games that year.
To go with the Bears too. How far did Dick Duron go? Because he had a similar defense that was very opportunistic, and they didn't have a good offense, and they made it deep into the playoffs one year with that. It's hard to sustain. No matter how good you are, it's hard to turn over good teams that many times every single week.
Yes, no doubt.
It's like going up against a baseball team that's got stud pitchers. Like, okay, you might have one or two games where you rake, but you can't expect to do it every, in a 7-game series.
Yep, that's right. So we have a text in. Perfect scenario for this weekend's wild card that we need. Broncos win in Buffalo, Steelers win in Baltimore, and then the Texans win and get a home game. It's fun to dream about that. I will say this is all I'm asking, is that they win the game this weekend, because it will just make watching the rest of the weekend a whole lot more fun when your team is still involved.
Yeah, yeah. Way more fun. You start getting sour grapes.
Like, I can't even look forward to Sunday and Monday yet until I know how that Texans game went. And yet when you look at it, like you look at a menu, it's like looking at a menu where like there's all these like awesome things. I'm like, I can't even get excited about all these steaks right here.
It's like the year.
Because I've still got to go do a 5K.
The worst was the year the Texans lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs, and then the next week the Chiefs got destroyed in the playoffs.
Did
they lose to the Colts?
That was 2015.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I just remember thinking like, oh, you can't even say like, well, at least we lost to a good team. No.
It wouldn't have been the Colts. That was the year after the Colts made the AFC title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was 2015 was Denver and the Patriots in the AFC title game. So it was one of those two teams. That's who they would have played. But yeah, 30-0. Nile Davis with the kickoff return on the opening play of the game. I'm like, oh, okay, well, there goes our little winning streak in the wild card round. I was used to winning these games.
Oh, Dick Drown only made it to the divisional. They lost in the divisional round. Look at how low my standards are.
Loser.
I just like Dick Drown. Yeah.
Are you excited about any of these games in particular other than the Texans game this weekend? I've got them in front of me here if you want me to.
I'm going
to
give you on a scale of 1 to 10 how excited
I am. Okay, I'm
going to
rapid fire them. You ready? Steelers at Ravens. It's Saturday night on Amazon.
I want the Ravens to destroy the Steelers.
Why?
I don't know.
It's better for the Texans if the Steelers win.
Yeah, I'm not thinking that way. I'm not in that mode right now. Okay. All right. Okay. You know what? You're right. I got to come back to reality.
You were when you wanted the three seed so bad.
I know. I got to come back to reality and remember.
Wait, hold on. I'm intrigued. Why did you want them to kill the Steelers so bad?
I don't know. I think it's the Russell Wilson thing.
Totally
or something.
Could be. That's the right answer.
I think
I'm just curious.
I know there's something about it though. It's almost like something, you know, something when something bad's happening, there's a part of you sometimes they're like, fine, yes, no. Make it as bad. I want all the pain.
But your excitement level about the game.
Excitement level actually to watch that game.
Yeah.
Even though I don't expect the Steelers to win the game, I think it's going to be more interesting than you would objectively think about it. So I'm going to put a 7 on that
one. They're the biggest dog of the weekend, the Steelers. They're a 10-point underdog.
I think there's still a good chance it'll be a fight.
All right, Broncos and Bills. That's the early game on Sunday. Oh, the Broncos have to play an early game in Buffalo on Sunday. They're a 9-point underdog. What's your intrigue level on that one?
I'm a 4 on that.
4.
I've grudgingly acknowledged how well Bo Nix has played this year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be kind of, I guess, sad to see them get destroyed by the Bills.
You think that's too big for them? Okay. I'm with you on that. The middle game on Sunday is the Eagles hosting the Packers. The Eagles are a 5-point favorite. It looks like, I'm looking at the screen in our studio right now. So they've got Jordan Love up there on the graphic right there. So I'm assuming he's playing. Yeah. He was dealing with some elbow injury, I guess.
That's about a 4 for that one, too.
Yeah.
Now, given the I enjoy watching playoff football in general, but like 10 is like a couple of these later ones we're going to see.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Buccaneers hosting the Commanders.
Oh, boy. Okay, excitement versus intrigue versus I'm going to go with a 7 on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the reclamation project and story of Baker Mayfield, even though he still throws a boatload of interceptions.
or the reclamation project of the Commanders franchise.
The entire damn franchise.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels and all of that. Would I give it a 7? Yeah.
7?
No, I'm going to amp that up to an 8.
Yeah.
Partly because I haven't watched the Commanders. Much like with Bo Nix, I was just way too skeptical for too long with the Commanders that it was all going to fall apart. So I didn't watch them as much as I probably should have.
Over-under on that game is 51. So there's going to be a lot of points scored. I think that's going to be a fun game. Mm-hmm. That has a chance to be the most fun game out of all these. And then the Monday night game, which the intrigue there is more about geography than anything else, the Rams hosting the Vikings in Glendale, Arizona because of the wildfires in California.
That one, given the Vikings are coming off just a complete letdown versus a team that if they make a run, they'll face again.
Yeah.
But given the Rams, I just can't get excited about the Rams these days. I'm going to say a 3 on that one.
I don't know
who I'm going to least favorite one of the bunch.
Yeah, because I don't know that these other games I can get worked up to pick a side here. I'm just tired of the Rams. I'm tired of people like Mike Greenberg and on TV trying to do that thing where you sound smart by saying the Rams are the team that nobody wants to play.
Yeah.
When in fact, the only time they've done anything in the postseason was that Super Bowl run like 3 years ago.
You know, the other part about the Vikings is that they dismantled the Texans. Sam Darnold looked like the new Johnny Unitas. And yet, like, now I've watched enough of Sam Darnold to realize, like, okay, he's a poor man's Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I don't know if come crunch time or when it really matters that he's the guy.
Fat face Sam Darnold is still in there somewhere.
Yeah. But
and
I don't hate him like you do.
Usually.
Like, you should hate watch that because you want to see him single-handedly be the reason they don't win.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed watching him just the sheer futility of him in the red zone against the Lions last week was very fun for me to watch.
Like, begging for interference calls that weren't there instead of the fact that you just couldn't throw the ball to Justin freaking Jefferson.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
What's the spread on that one?
Spread on the Rams and the Vikings is Minnesota 2.5. So that team that nobody wants to play is an underdog.
So I guess I'm a Rams fan in that game. Although I'm looking forward to the rematch of the Vikings versus the Lions.
Yeah.
Real quandary for me.
What's that?
It's a real quandary
for me. It's a big quandary. Yeah. Well, the coaching matchup is fun too because Kevin O'Connell is a Sean McVay disciple.
Yeah.
A little teacher-student thing going on there. All right. It's a good slate of games. I mean, this is a fun weekend between college Thursday, college Friday, and NFL Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You know, we've never had this before. Mm-hmm. Like, this is in contention for, like, the best chunk of calendar of the year. Like, I'm into all this stuff, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, Seth is going to make his prediction on this game. I made mine a little bit earlier. 23-20 Texans was mine. That was a little bit earlier. Seth will give his prediction on Chargers and Texans. And we'll go through the receipts. These are the receipts that you need to hold if you are a Texans fan or if you're a Texans staffer or player who's listening. We'll go through those coming up next.